Good morning. Good morning, everyone. It is time to get started. Any young people that we still have in the sanctuary? I want to remind you, it is Youth Converge Sunday, so all the kids are already headed back. So any young people still in here, feel free to head back. Ages, I believe it's, I don't know what ages they do, six and up. Ages six and up, they are having... Youth Converge is a time for our kids and teenagers to worship together, to grow together, to build relationships together. So once a month, we do the Youth Converge, where the kids and the teens have their own worship service together, and then the preaching, and then they have a brunch. So we don't get to partake in that brunch, but the kids all love it. So all of you parents and grandparents, just be aware your kids may not be hungry for lunch after church. That's okay, they've already eaten. All right, and there are a few announcements for us older people that are still left in the sanctuary. We will have preschool and nursery dismissal after worship like we typically do, but all of our kids ages 7 and up, Leah, is that correct? 7? Ages 7 and up? 6 and up. Ages 6 and up, you can head on back if you're still in the building. Ages 6 through 19. All right, so I think we got rid of all the kids. That means you all got to be extra worshipful today. We don't have the kids' energy, so we need your energy to worship God. Amen? All right, some announcements we want to make you aware of. Today is the last day of 2024. 2023. Oh, they say time flies. I'm just skipping a whole year. It's the last day of 2023, so we are having a New Year's Eve service tonight at 7 p.m. If you do not have plans, we would love to have you come. It is open to anyone, so if you have a family member or a neighbor or a friend who does not have plans, please invite them to join us. It's a safe place to bring in the new year. We're going to start with a short service, and during that service, we're going to open up for testimonies and declarations. So you can declare what you believe God is going to do in 2024 in you or your family. So we want you to come prepared to share if you'd like to. We're not going to call you out. We're not going to make you. But we would love to hear from you if you're wanting to share. So that will be an opportunity tonight at 7 o'clock with a potluck after. So feel free to bring some food to share as well. And we will not be having our 3 p.m. Hispanic service today. So this is a day that the Hispanic community celebrates as well, so they're taking today off. And then the next three Sundays, we have stuff going on, so buckle up. Here we go. Next Sunday is a welcome luncheon. That's January 7th. If you are newer to the Lighthouse, if you've only been here a year, year and a half, we want you to join us. There are invitations back at the table by the door. So if that's you, grab an invitation to make sure you can be here next Sunday right after service. We want you to stay, and it's a time for us as pastors to get to know you and for you to get to know us. So please join us. The very following Sunday, we are having an appreciation luncheon for Sister Betty Bianchi, who has been working in worship here at this church for over 50 years. Can we just give her a hand? And she feels the Lord calling her to transition to some other things. So we want to celebrate her. We will be doing that on the 14th. If you would like to bring something to that potluck, please see Sister Tracy. Wave her hand. She's back at the media desk right now. See Sister Tracy, and she can let you know what we need you to bring if you would like to bring some food. And then the following Sunday, everyone say the following Sunday. Oh, I know the kids aren't in here. Let's try it again. The following Sunday, that's January 21st, is our business meeting. This is open to everyone to stay and hear what the church is doing, what we have done, what we're planning to do. We want you to be informed and to be a part. Amen? So please plan to stay on the 21st after service. Mark it on your calendars and stay with us. And just two more announcements. The teens are not in here, but I'm letting you parents know. The teens have been invited to have a Christmas party on January 13th, so they can go to Pastor Caleb and Leah's house for a party. and you can see them for more details. And then my last announcement, again, for all of you parents, if you have children ages 7 through 12, we have Talent Expo coming up. It is a great opportunity for kids to use their gifts for the Lord. So our kids' pastors have scheduled some practices starting next Sunday, right after church, and they have things planned, skits they can be a part of, group songs they can be a part of. So if they don't know what they want to do, it's okay. They can stay next Sunday and get all that information right after church. And as a parent, if you have a kid who doesn't tell you things, raise your hand if you're that type of person. The kids just kind of forget everything when they walk out the door. You're welcome to stay with them so you can get all of the information. And again, that is open to all kids age 7 through 12 and their guardians. And at this time, we have Brother Jesse coming with our call to worship scripture. And I want to remind you all, this is the day the Lord has made. Let's worship. Let's get involved. Let's be excited about who God is.
Amen. Praise the Lord. It's good to be here today. Good to worship with my brothers and sisters in Christ. And I was praying about what scripture to read this morning. Birth, new birth, just kept rolling around in my spirit and is continuing to roll around in my spirit. So I have two scriptures I want to read. First one is James 1:18. And it says, he chose to give birth to us by giving us his true word. And we, out of all creation, became his prized possession. God places great value on us. He values us greatly. We became his prized possession out of all creation. So keep that in mind. When you're having a down day and you feel a little less than, you can go back to that scripture and remember God chose us and we are his prized possession out of all creation. John 1:13 says this, speaking about this birth, because it's not a natural birth, it is a spiritual birth. It says they are reborn not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. This is referring again to a spiritual birth, and that is a gift of salvation, new life that God gives when we allow him to come into our heart and make us new. So it's a free gift. It's something that we can receive from him. So I want to encourage you this week, even if you've been born again, how many of you know there was a time that you weren't born again? So God has placed you in the midst of people who need this new spiritual birth. So I want to encourage you to listen for the voice of God and follow his leading so that others can be reborn. Amen? So with that this morning, if you would stand with me, and we'll pray over our tithes and offerings. Heavenly Father, we just come to you in the name of Jesus, God, because you are our source. God, you are our source for all things, and we just give you thanks for your provision in our lives. God, I pray that you would bless these tithes and offerings and use them to further your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Nothing's too big for my God.
My God. 2024, believe in God. Not just about God, but believe in God and what He says in His Word. Not what other people say, not what other people think, but what God's Word says, that is what you're going to stand on. Amen? How many have that determination today and throughout this year? I'm going to believe God in what God says. Hallelujah. 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 This is what God says. Thank God I'm free, free, free from this world of sin. I've been washed in the blood of Jesus. I've been
to win.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
2023. How many of you have regrets about things in this year? Yeah. But I love what the song says. I don't have time to maintain regrets. I don't have time for the devil to keep working on me, keep reminding me. Because I am living under the grace of God. And that doesn't mean that it just gives me carte blanche to just do whatever I want. But when I come to the throne room and he says in his word that I can come boldly. Everybody say boldly. I'm not coming shamefaced. I'm not crawling in. Do you know why that is? Because I'm good enough. Not in myself, I'm not. What do I come in with? I am clothed with the blood of Jesus. I am clothed with the blood of Jesus. And then I walk in boldly and say, Father, I've made mistakes. I've sinned. I need you to help me. I need you to forgive me. And he does that. And then he says, your sins are as far as from east to the west. How many of you are not going to maintain regrets? Because I'm going to think about how much he loves me. Sing that verse again. Hallelujah. We are his portion and he is a prize. Draw to redemption by the grace.
Do you hear the words that you are saying this morning? Are you grasping what you are declaring this morning? My love for you is so vast and so wide that all of the ocean would be dried up if I used it as ink to pen it on paper. I have walked with you through every step of this year and throughout your life. I love you so much that I sent you the greatest gift that I could ever give. I want you so much to be by my side that I gave you this gift of eternity. Do you really understand how big my love is for you? Child, when you have felt like I've been distant, I've been right there. I've never left you, and I will never forsake you. Sometimes you may go through a season where you may distance yourself from me and you may blame it on me, but that's okay. I still love you. I have been with you along your side through every twist and turn that you have faced. Every roadblock that has come in your way, I have grabbed you by the hand and I have walked you through it. Through those hard times and you thought all was lost, I've been right there. Don't lose sight of that. I've been beside you because I love you so much that I have given everything for you. And all I ask is for you to just let me walk alongside you. Don't lose hope. Don't lose faith because I am faithful to you. I will love you through the thick, through the thin, through the good, and through the bad. Continue to walk boldly in that faith with me. Let me walk you through those struggles and those trials. Let me embrace you in the moments that you feel lonely and lost, because I love you and I want to comfort you. You are my child and I am your father. Don't lose hope and don't lose faith. I love you, says your Lord, God, Father, Creator.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Come on, give Him praise. God's doing something in this moment. Don't miss it because you're just trying to move on. Because that's what we do. Come on, press in. He loves you this morning. He loves you more than you can comprehend with your finite human brain. Father, we just give you praise right now. We thank you for your great love that you have towards us, but you have also displayed. and you continue to display to us, Lord. Now, God, there are those of us here that don't fully understand how to receive your love. But God, we're trying. And as we're trying, you're teaching us. So, Father, I ask you to continue to help us to discern and understand your love for us. How great that it is, what you're doing in us, but not only in us, but you're doing through us. For as we experience your love, we then give it to others. And as we share your love with others, others come to know your great love. Father, we praise you for that right now. I thank you that you're doing a healing work in people's lives right now. You're working in our bodies, you're working in our minds, you're working in our hearts. You're working in our spirits, Lord. We give you all the glory and the praise, hallelujah, for what you are doing. We worship you, we love you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. We give you thanks for your goodness, your kindness, your mercies towards us and your grace. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, church, open your mouth. Just give him some praise. Love on him now. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We worship you, Jesus. We praise your holy name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, you're worthy of our praise, Lord. You're worthy of our praises, Lord. We give our love back to you, oh God. We praise your holy name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We love you, Jesus. We praise your holy name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We bless you, Lord. You're so great, God. You're so great, God. Your mercies are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness, oh God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. If you recall, the way that we begun this year was with a time of consecration. We turned all the music off. Just joined together with our voices as we began to sing and praise God, and we would pray together. We would come together and pray, seeking the face of God together as one body. I believe that's what got us through this year. This congregation has faced various different things. Things have come at us. Things have tried to attack us and destroy us, but God has been faithful. He will continue to be faithful. Amen. And I believe it's because we have consecrated our lives to him. Our lives are not our own. The Bible says we have been purchased by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And now we belong to God. When we receive that word, we belong to God. And as we belong to him, then we consecrate our life. We dedicate it, set it aside, and say, no, now my life belongs to you. And I want to just remind us as we're coming to a close in this year that that wasn't just something we did at the beginning of the year because we thought it would be cool. This is something we actually did in a physical way, but also in a spiritual way and with our souls. And so when you make that commitment to God, then you have to continue to live it out. And this congregation, when we come together as a consecrated people who belong to him. That say, I don't care if my spouse or family member that's beside me, or the person who's sitting next to me, or the person who's sitting in front of me, the person sitting behind me, I don't care what they're doing in this moment. I understand and know that this moment is for me to praise God. So I'm going to do that. And in the hustle and the bustle of this season we're in, as we're kind of come into a close of this holiday season and coming into a new year, let us not forget that even when we're tired, God deserves our best praise. Even when we've contracted some type of crazy virus from all the families that we have gathered together with, we don't feel the best and we're coughing and hacking and sneezing and blowing our nose and all that stuff, God still is worthy of our praise, right? So when I come in here on Sunday morning, I don't want to just come in here with an attitude going, phew, I made it. Now let me sit down and catch my breath and, oh, I hope that preacher's got something good to say today because I really need it. We can do that and miss so much of what God has in store for us. Or we can come and say, you know what, I'm tired, but I'm going to lift up those heavy hands because he's worthy of my praise. And I have consecrated myself to be his. Why? Why would we do such an act, a crazy thing? Because of his love. Because of his love. And if anybody in this building and anybody outside of this building that walks the face of the earth would tell you that they have a full understanding and revelation of God's love, they're lying to you. You cannot. Scripture even says it. Paul talks about trying to comprehend the depth, the breadth, the width, the height of his love. It's an lifetime pursuit. And isn't that amazing? That's the cool thing about the relationship with God. It is a lifetime pursuit. That I want to know your love more, Father. Let me know your love more today than I did yesterday. We don't ever stop growing in our understanding of his love for us. We're going to minister. God is just lining these things up. We're going to minister to you about the love of God today. But I want to just for us to just slow down, tap the brakes for a minute. I know we got in this mode. Hurry, 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 hurry. Because it's just life. That's what happens in this time of year. But let's just stop. And let's just bask in the presence of God. You say, well, I don't feel him. You don't have to. He's here. It's not dependent upon your feelings. Whether you get goosebumps or not. God is omnipresent. He's here. The Spirit of God lives inside of you if you have received him and been born again, so he's here. We love those times and moments where he manifests himself, makes himself real to us, and we feel him. But whether I feel him or not, I know he's here. And the Spirit of the Lord, through a prophetic word, through our sister, spoke to us and said, I have never left you. Through every twist and turn and things that you have faced in your life, I've been right there with you. Hallelujah. That deserves some praise, doesn't it? Come on. Come on. Give him praise this morning. Give him praise this morning. Let's sing this now. We've been singing about the love of God and how wonderful the love of God is, but can we just now in turn sing the simple chorus that we love him. I love you, Lord. Let's just sing that song. I love you, Lord. Go ahead, lead us in it.
I love you, Lord. And I lift my voice to
the voices. Let's sing it again. I love you, Lord. Hallelujah. We love you, Jesus. We give our praise and glory to you, Lord. We worship you with our lives in service unto you, Lord. We worship you. Hallelujah. 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 We give you praise. We give you praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you for slowing down for a moment and pressing in and giving God His due praise. Amen. He's worthy of it. You may be seated if you wish to be. You can continue to worship the Lord. We will never want you to stop worshiping Him and praising Him. And at this time, if you have babies that you're going to take to nursery or preschool, you can take them back there and they'll watch over them for you and minister to them. I love our church and the heart that our leaders have. It's not babysitting time when we take kids back, but it's ministry time. And even the babies who you think, well, you know, they're not even speaking yet. Well, they understand. They understand and they can be ministered to. And it's from that moment as we raise them up in the fear and admonition of our Lord, they begin to understand and sense and know the love of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, it is so good to be with you this morning and to be in the house of the Lord together as we join together and to worship God. And we want to say that we pray and believe that you've had a wonderful Christmas time as we celebrated the birth of our Savior. We're going to continue to, we're going to end our series, our Advent series today, as we minister the word. And so we're still going to be reflecting on that. I think it's good for us to do that. Sometimes December 25th comes and then goes and we just move on. But, you know, this is something that we should keep in our heart all year long, that the birth of our Savior had taken place, that Jesus has come and Advent has taken, and there's a second Advent coming. And so we want to continue on those lines this morning. But I want to just say to you, thank you from my wife and me and our family. Thank you for all who sent cards and has given us gifts. We appreciate those. We never want to act like we take that for granted. We know that you've gone out of your way to show your love towards me and my family, and so we appreciate that, and we're grateful for that. But we really, not only the gifts, but we really appreciate the prayers and the encouragement that you give us. And so thank you for that. It is so needed in a time, you know, I don't get on social media a lot lately. The past couple of days I've had some downtime, so I've been doing it a little bit more. But you'll see so many posts because I'm a pastor and I'm connected to pastoral things on my social media. You see so many posts that talk about how many pastors are quitting all the time. They're burnt out, they're wore out, they're done. And while I understand how that happens, and don't get me wrong, I get that, I also say to myself, I never want to get there, and I never want to stop doing what God has for me to do. Amen. And I appreciate a congregation that understands that, that sends encouraging words through cards at Christmas time or other seasons of life that we go through. And so I just wanted to say thank you from the bottom of our hearts. We appreciate you, and we thank you for that. But this morning we are going to move into our closing message on this series. And if you haven't realized this, we've been touching every theme of Advent. And if you don't know a lot about Advent, I encourage you to go do some research. Make sure you're checking your sources and make sure they're good sources, right? Because there's all kinds of information out there nowadays. But do some research on Advent, and it'll help you understand the Christmas season even better. And it's important. And so we felt in our hearts, me and Pastor Alicia, as we were praying coming into this Christmas season, what God would have us to do as a church. And I really felt like we needed to reflect and think about Advent as a whole. And so we've been ministering on the four themes of Advent. We started with hope. Then we talked about peace. Last Sunday on Christmas Eve, we preached about joy. And so this morning, we're going to finish up with the fourth theme. And if you've seen the Advent wreaths with the candles on them, there's four candles. And the fourth one always represents love. And these are things that God has given us as precious gifts to us. And I think it's important that as we're remembering that Christ the Savior was born in Bethlehem, we also remember why that is significant. Can I get an amen this morning? How many know that babies are born all the time? Right? Babies come to this earth all the time. And it's a great joy to see a baby born. Now, I don't think that the statistics would say that many of them are born with animals around them, like Jesus was. So that was unique, and not many of them are put in feeding troughs or a manger like Jesus was. But that's not why his birth was so significant. His birth was significant because God became flesh and dwelt among us. And there are people who would like to teach and say in this day and age, well, you know, it could have been anyone, but God just picked that one. No. God had a plan. It wasn't just willy-nilly that he decided, well, you know what? I'm just going to let this happen, and we're going to pick this person to be the Savior of the world. No. This is the Son of God that was born. That's amazing that he would come to earth, right? And we've been talking about the hope that he gives us, the peace that he bestows upon our life, and the joy that we can walk in no matter what season we're going through of life, no matter what we're facing. And I hope you heard my heart last week. I know I got a little personal, but I felt the unction of the Holy Spirit to do that. And, I'm cautious to do that because I'm the type of guy, I don't like people feeling sorry for me. I don't need anybody to feel sorry for me. I have Jesus, right? He is my victory. He is my Savior. He is my healer. He is my strength. He is my everything. So I don't need people to feel sorry for me. But what I wanted you to be able to do is to relate to something that's real, that we walk through, that even in the midst of sadness, there's joy. Because sadness is just a feeling. But joy is something that is developed in us by the Holy Spirit. That no matter what we're facing in life, joy is there and it's present. And so this morning we're going to shift to the theme of love, which really, truthfully, is the hardest one to preach because it is the entirety of the Bible. And I truly believe this as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's not too many scriptures that I can't take and preach the love of God about because there's something in it. There's a reflection. Even in the Old Testament when God was telling his people to annihilate other people, and you say, well, where's the love of God in that? I'll tell you where it was. It was his care for his people and what he knew would happen if they were allowed to corrupt them. That's the love of God. And it was a different dispensation, different era of what was going on. We hadn't had the Holy Spirit poured out yet and all of those things. And so he was taking care of and providing for his people because he loved them. And so I'm going to do my best to stay on point this morning. And I don't know if they knew this or not. I did not know that they were going to sing the song, The Love of God, this morning. I did not know that. But I put it in our notes for you today because, and we're going to hit that in just a minute, but I believe that God wants to say some things to us, very specific for our generation. And the love of God can be preached to every generation and should be preached. It's a mandate that we preach it to every generation. But there are things that each generation needs to hear specifically about it to help us. And we're going to deal with that this morning when it comes to the advent of Jesus. Jesus showing up, because what we have to realize is love showed up. Love showed up when Jesus was born. And so it is really, truthfully, the greatest gift that God has given us is love. And I want to read this passage to you in Galatians chapter 4 before we start diving into this subject this morning to help us remember what we're talking about in the overall series of Advent. The Bible says this, Galatians 4:4. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law. When the fullness of time had come. Now remember, Advent is the awaiting of the arrival with the expectation of the coming one, right? And so they had been waiting for this to happen. And when the fullness of time had come, that's how we know that God had a plan and a purpose for everything he was doing. It couldn't just have been anyone. God picked Jesus and picked Mary and said, Mary, you're going to be the vessel that carries my son. Well, how will this be? The power of the Most High, the Holy Spirit, will overshadow you. And in your womb will be placed my seed, which will connect to your egg. And it will be conceived inside of you by the power of the Holy Spirit. There was nothing done physically. It was done spiritually. And then all of a sudden what was happening in the spirit created a baby inside of her. And now you're going to be the vessel that delivers my only begotten son into the world. It was supernatural. It was a miracle that took place. And the reason behind all of what he was doing is the fullness of time had come. What the appointed time, everything had happened. Everything had taken place that God had waited on and orchestrated beforehand. And when all of that was done, God said, now is the time. Now is the right time. And everything leading up to his birth was already being set in motion. And here's where we have to be careful, where we don't think God is a puppet master up here pulling the strings, but he is the sovereign God who has a plan, and he knows the thoughts and the intents of the heart. He understands what's going on. He can place thoughts in people. And it just so happened that when the fullness of time had come, that it was not just a lady that was a Jewish lady, but she was in Nazareth. But the problem was is she can have the baby in Nazareth, because the prophecy said that she would have the baby in Bethlehem. But God knew and foresaw all that would take place, and that there would be a census taken by Caesar Augustus, and they would all have to go back to their homelands where they were from. But you see what I mean by the fullness of time. Only God can plan that good. How many of you went to some amazing Christmas dinners and everything was planned out so good? Go ahead, raise your hand. I mean, everything was just right, so, and looked so wonderful. Well, that's because they had a very short time frame to work with. But some of you had some things go wrong too in your planning. Because you're human. God didn't have any error in his plan. So when the fullness of time had come, the arrival of the one that they were waiting on shows up. How amazing is that? Not in the way that we would have done it. Not how humanity would have had it. We would have rolled out the red carpet and we would have had him come from a kingly lineage that had been known at that time, where he grew up in a palace and he had all the riches of the world. But God said, no, no, no. There is a family that's in obscurity, but there's still a kingly lineage that you don't know about because you have forgotten about. But I have not forgotten them. And when the fullness of time come, his son was born of a woman. That means he became flesh. She was a virgin, had never knew a man. God places his son in her, and she gives birth to him. But notice this, he was also born under the law. You see, the fullness of time had come because it was now time to transition from the covenant he made with Moses to the new covenant he was making with the world through his son Jesus Christ. You say, well, how's all this connect to everything? It connects because it was the fact that God loved us that he did this. It was the fact that God loved humanity that he first made a covenant with Adam. Then he made a covenant with Abraham. And he made a covenant with Moses. And then he made a covenant with David. And all of these covenants he has kept. And you know what? Here's the thing. He still keeps them today. Because the fulfillment of those covenants is in one person. His name's Jesus. And if you go back and read the Davidic covenant, Jesus is the fulfillment of that. And if you read the Mosaic covenant, Jesus is the fulfillment of that. If you read the Abrahamic covenant, Jesus is the fulfillment of that. And if you read the Adamic covenant, Jesus is the fulfillment of that. How could one person be the fulfillment of all of those covenants? Because he's God. He's God. And how does all this line up with our theme? Because it was God's love that he first implemented these covenants, and it was God's love that he fulfilled them in his only begotten Son. So really the theme of love is the theme of God himself. And I want to read these words to you again, because I think they're so profound. And I looked it up. This was written in, I believe it was early 1900s, like 1917. And so we struggle with understanding some of these words. I mean, we have, I think back now, and some of the stuff my kids say, I'm thinking 20 years from now, no one's going to have a clue what that even means. Like they say all the time, no cap. I don't know if you've ever heard that, but there's like no cap. It means they're not lying. I have no idea how that has anything to do with lying or telling the truth. But they are like, no cap, no cap. All right? Those words will not make sense to the people 20 years from now when they read text messages or whatever they're going to be reading, right? Social media posts. So sometimes when we look back at words, we struggle to comprehend what it's saying, but I think that if we slow down, we can gather together and understand what the meaning of this great song is. And like I said, I had no idea they were going to be singing this morning, but I think it's great because you got to hear the melody. And it's the love of God is greater than tongue or pen could ever tell. What does that mean? No one can write it or really bring it into any kind of language and describe it by talking to you or by writing it out. It's far beyond that. That even means this. Now, don't throw stones at me this morning, but I'm going to help you understand something here. That even the scriptures within the confines of just the text cannot give you the fulfillment and fullness of the love of God. Just what it says itself is not a picture of the love of God that is complete. It alludes to it and begins to reveal it to us and begins to show it, but it's incomplete. That's why we teach here and tell you that the Bible has to be spiritually understood. And as you're reading the text, it becomes alive because it is the word of life, not the text itself, but what it says. And through that, then, it becomes the living word by the Spirit. And you begin to discern or understand even greater what it's saying, because the love of God begins to become more revealed to you as you read it and study it. But even that is not the fullness of his love, because it's a constant pursuit all of our lives to know it more and more and more. So a tongue or a pen could never tell you the fullness of God's love. And in a moment that you experience God's love, which us Pentecostals, we love that, and I'm all for that. I want to experience the love of God. I want to feel it down to my core. And that happens. It does. But even in that, that's not the fullness of God's love. That's just us experiencing it, a piece of it. And he wants us to experience more, and so we'll have another experience and another experience. And we keep adding those experiences up, and we get to see a fuller picture, yet we still are limited to understanding the fullness of God's love. We can't do it in our human mind. In our spirit, though, our spirit begins to develop this thing and show us and reveal it to us. And so that's why I like this, because what it says here, it says, then it reaches clear up and goes beyond the highest star and goes down to the lowest hell. So it spans the vast of everything. And these two guilty pair, they bow down and worship this one who is it? The Son, who has been given to us, who wins and gets the victory. How does he get the victory? Well, he pulls all the erring children, the ones that are an heir, unto himself, and he reconciles them back to God. You see, this is the good news in a song. It's the gospel. And he pardons us free from our sin. So then we come to the refrain or the chorus. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure, the saints and angels' song. Do you realize that in eternity, that which never ends, in eternity, we will still be singing about the love of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. That's amazing. We can't fathom that. Then it says this, they use this really, really old term, when hoary times shall pass away. Or as the time, the evil times, hardships have come and gone, and time has gone on. And earthly thrones and kingdoms fall. We've seen kingdoms come up and kingdoms come down. Leaders rise and leaders fall. And when men who hear refuse to pray, so the people who are here won't even acknowledge God. Doesn't that sound familiar? Even in that moment, when people won't pray, when people won't acknowledge God, when on the rocks and hills and mountains they won't call out, God's love is still so sure and it will still endure. Do you understand what he's saying here? That even when people won't acknowledge God, they will not pray, they won't think about God, God's love still exists. It will endure all of that. It will not fail. Because it's measureless and strong. He's redeeming grace to Adam's race. That's all of us who have been born of the flesh. Giving us his grace. And the saints and angels' song. If we could fill the ocean with ink, and the sky were made of paper, and every stalk, that means everything that has sprung up from the earth, if that was a quill, y'all remember what a quill is? The little feather that would suck up the ink and you dip it in the ink and write with it. We have fountain pens now that we just click and write. If every stalk was a pen, the ocean filled with ink, and the sky was nothing but made of paper. Now catch this. I love this verse. And every person was employed to be a writer. So if the only thing that existed on this earth was so that was things so we could write, and every person that existed was a writer. Get the picture of this song. That's all that anybody would do is write. And write about what? The love of God. Then it says this, that it would drain the ocean dry. The scroll or the papers would be filled up and we would need more papers to write on. Even if it was stretched from sky to sky. We cannot come to an end of the love of God by talking about it, by writing about it. It is impossible because God is love. And we cannot describe an infinite God in finite things. You see, people, this is where they mess up. They try to take science, and instead of dealing with the earth and only the earth with science, they try to explain God through science. They're taking something that's finite, that is final, that comes to an end, and trying to explain something that is everlasting, that never comes to an end. Therefore, you cannot describe God by the thing that he made. It's impossible. You can't measure God with our measuring systems that we have created because they are finite and he is infinite. He is an endless God. He is a forever God. He is an everlasting God. Do we understand this? And when we talk about love and the Bible tells us that God is love, then therefore love never ends. It goes on and on and on. It is forever perpetuated because it is God himself. So there's no end to this thing. And that's why I tried to tell you that trying to preach on this theme for Advent was very difficult. Because it's endless. Y'all think I preach long. Though I preached for 11 years, 365 days, 24 hours a day, on one subject called love, we could never reach the end of it. Because it's not just about love, it's about God. So honing in then on some details of this great thing called the love of God and the theme that we're talking about when it comes to Advent, I want to take us to a very well-known passage of Scripture. John 3, verses 16 through 18. And some of you can probably quote this passage already, but I want you to slow down for a minute. And as you're turning there, I want you to go there on your electronic device, or if you have a Bible, turn there in your Bible. But I want you to just think about this. I want to remind you, we have said this. So we have a future hope, that's the first theme, that brings us a present peace, if you remember that. And because we have a present peace, we have joy in all things. So those are the three themes that we've already preached about. But I want to remind you that this, that the only reason we have hope, peace, and joy is all because of love. Love touches the other three and is in full contact with them. And had it not be for love, we would not have hope, peace, or joy. And God says this. Remember, when the fullness of time had come, he sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law. And God himself says this. Why would he do this? Why would he send him? For God so loved the world. He so loved the world. that when the fullness of time had come, he gave his only son. Everybody say only. Only son. He didn't have a spare one. It wasn't like he had four or five and he's like, oh, I can spare one. His only son. That whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. Now, some of us will still quote this part too, but we kind of let it drop off. So hear this. God didn't send Jesus in the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved or rescued through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. Now, this is where we get it wrong. We think that Jesus has come and brought condemnation, and if we don't turn to Jesus, then we're condemned. No. Jesus brought revelation that we were already condemned to die. So I'm going to teach you some good theology here just for a second. Everybody that wants to blame everything that bad that happens to their life, into their life and in this world on God, they got it completely flipped backwards. God made a perfect world, and it wasn't until Satan deceived Adam and Eve and got them to rebel against God that evil entered the world. Is that God's fault that people rebelled against him? No. And it's not that he's narcissistic and said you have to do everything his way. It's that he is a just judge and he tells us what is right and what is wrong. And when we did wrong, we opened the door for sin to enter into the earth. Adam and Eve did that in the garden. And because of his love for them, he clothed them, sacrificed one of his creations for them, covered them, gave them prophetic word over their life, and sent them on their way with a plan. With a plan. So the people who want to deconstruct their faith and start ripping everything apart and ripping pages out of the Bible and not connect with what's supposed to be connected, just listen to me for a minute. You want to talk about a holy, loving God? He has provided everything for us, even when we messed it all up. And then we turn around and blame him for when things don't go the way we want them to go. No, that is evil, and that is sin that has done these things. And because of our sin, we are already condemned to die. But God, hallelujah, so loved the world that he gave his only son, the only begotten son of God. He gave him to us as a gift that he could rescue us from this condemnation that would send us to an eternity of death in hell. He sent Jesus Christ because he loves us so much. Jesus came because he loves us so much to rescue us from this condemnation. God has never condemned anyone to hell. Everyone has condemned themselves because of sin. You see, God can only do what is good. He cannot do evil. He is holy and pure. And so the evil that takes place in this world, the evilness that is terrible in this world, is caused because of sin, because of unrighteousness, because of people. That's why it happens. And even though we have rebelled against God himself, he loved us so much. Wow. That the only thing he had of great value. Do you understand that? The greatest value, the most valuable thing that God had was his son. His only son. And because he loved us, He gave us his son. That is Advent. That is the arrival of the coming one. And because God is love, he gave us love in the form of a human being named Jesus, so that we would not have to live in our condemnation anymore, but we could be rescued from what we did wrong. Just ponder that for a minute and ask yourself, how many of you would take the most valuable thing you have and give it to the person who on purpose has done wrong to you? They have purposely wronged you. They have slandered your name. They talk about you like you're nothing. It's always your fault. It's never their fault. They disrespect you any moment of time that they can. Would you be willing to love them enough to give them your most valued thing that you have? It got quiet in here. And that's a good thing. Because this is the reality, church, of what God did for us. We rebelled against him. Sin caused us to be his enemy. And yet he broke through the barrier. And when he broke through the barrier and broke through the line of his enemy, instead of destroying his enemy, he loved his enemy. He loved his enemy. So much so, he gave life to his enemy, so that they would not die, but they could live forever. That enemy is me and you. You see, this is what we have to get a hold of in this generation. Love is not just a feeling or emotion. Godly love is a choice. And God chose the world. It's not a feeling or emotion. It's not just, oh, I get butterflies when I'm around Alicia, so I must love her. No. Let me tell you something. There's some days where Alicia has plum forgot about those first butterflies she ever felt. But she loves me because she has chosen to love me. With all of my errors, all of my faults, and my failures, she's chosen to love me. She's made a commitment to me. We said, until death do us part. God said, I'm going to take that a step further. And I'm going to bring you into eternity with me, so we can always be together. For God so loved us that even when we were his enemy, he did this for us. That's not an emotion. That's not a feeling. I'm just going to get blunt with you for a minute here. What we call love in America is usually lust. It's just something we desire. We have objectified people. We've made them objects to fulfill something that we want pleasure for. And I know your mind is going to sex, but it's more than that. It's more than that. If you just use someone because you say that you love them, but you're only using them for your benefit, Not only is that lust, but it's also manipulation. And unfortunately, we live in a world and a society that has told us that's what love is. Do what's right for you. Are you kidding me? No. Love says do what's right for them. Even if they don't do you right. Even when they hate you and curse you. You see, love is a choice. That's true love. It's not a feeling. It's not something that we get when we want something. That's called a desire. Love says, I'm going to stand by you come hell or high water. Love says, I don't care how many times you messed up. I'm not leaving. That's love. Yet we do not see it displayed in our nation very much at all. Could it be that we've misinterpreted Scripture? And please hear my heart on this. I'm not trying to be disrespectful to anyone or disrespectful to Scripture. I'm trying to get us to understand it correctly. So when we read passages like, well, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. If we look at that from the wrong point of view or the wrong perspective, then we think that that's manipulative. We think that God's trying to manipulate us into doing something he wants for us. Why would that be? Because we grew up in a generation hearing, well, if you love me, then you will have sex with me. Well, if you love me, then you will buy me this thing that I want you to buy me. If you love me, then you'll do this for me. And so when we read those words, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments, it has been jaded by the world we live in, not by God. So we have to go back to the original meaning of what God was saying, and we cannot put it in the context in which we live. That's good preaching, Pastor Joe. That's good doctrinal preaching, Pastor Joe. Because you know how often we want to just put everything in the context of the world we live in and make it apply the way that we want it to apply? You can't do that with Scripture. The Word of God is eternal. It's everlasting. So it goes beyond our context. What was God really saying? It had nothing to do with him and everything to do with us. It wasn't that he was trying to get us to do something for him or get something out of us. He was just simply making the statement, you can say you love me, but if you don't show you love me, then you really don't love me. And you just flapping your jaws at me. You can say, oh, I love you, God. I love you, God. I love you, God. But if you walk out of this building this morning and you never display to God himself that you actually do love him and you make a commitment and a choice to serve him outside of the church building, then you don't really love him. You just say you love him. And the way that we show God we love him is we keep his commandments. It's pretty simple. You know how easy? Remember, Moses gave us 10, but then Jesus fulfilled the 10. So as long as we are in Christ, we will fulfill those 10. See, Jesus made it even simpler. He just gave us 2. Love God with everything you have, your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. So guess what? The people in his generation are just like us. Well, who's my neighbor? You know, I get the love God part, right? That's understandable because he's God, right? He's the creator. I'm supposed to love him. But please define to me who my neighbor is. Because, you know, there's some people that I just don't want to love. So who's this neighbor? Is that just the person that lives next to me? No. When they asked him that, he told them the parable of the Good Samaritan. And this is where he really flipped the script, right? He uses someone who's considered a dirty dog. And please excuse my language, but they called them this. Half-breeds, which I don't agree with that, but that's what they called them, okay? That's what they called Samaritans. They were just very derogatory towards Samaritans. He uses a man like that, who everyone thinks is worthless, to display the love of God to humanity and to teach them who your neighbor is. You see, this guy got beat up on the wayside and robbed and was left naked. And the Levite and the priest, who were supposed to be the godly people, walked past him and left him lay there and could not show him any love at all. But the downright dirty scoundrel of the Samaritan stopped by. And not only did he stop by, he put him on his beast, carried him into a place, put him up in a hotel, paid all of his expenses, and said, by the way, if it goes beyond what I've already given you, let me know and I'll cover the rest of the bill. So who's your neighbor? Who's your neighbor? Anyone you come in contact with that needs help or doesn't need help. Anyone you come face to face with is your neighbor. And if you love your neighbor and you love God, then you are the epitome of God in the earth. God himself working through you by his power, which is love. So this is what we have to understand about the theme of Advent. Is God penetrated the wickedness because he loved us so much. And he infected the world with this thing called love. And it has become viral, to use a nowadays term. It's become viral. And if you are not walking with the virus of love, how can you call yourself a Christian? And if you are not infecting people around you with the love that's inside of you, how can you call yourself a Christian? Because that's what Jesus did. They falsely accused him. They beat him and bruised him. They pulled his beard out of his face. They blindfolded him and punched him. And they said, if you're a prophet, tell us who hit you. They spit on him. They whipped him 39 times. And after all of that, then they made him carry a cross to the hillside of Calvary. And they nailed him to it, hung him up on it, put him on display to shame him in front of the known world of that time. Put a sign above him to mock him, calling him the King of the Jews. His back, brutally busted up from being whipped, was what was laying against the wood. And the only way that he could get his breath out of him, he could breathe in, but he couldn't get his breath out of him. The only way is to shove his feet that were nailed and his hands that were nailed to pull up and slide that busted up back on wood so that he could exhale only to slide back down and inhale and hold his breath as long as he could again. Until he could go through that torment pain to shove back up again so that he could exhale. You wonder why Christ didn't say more at the cross? I can't believe he said anything at the cross. And you know what his words were? As he had gone through all of that and he's hanging there. It wasn't, let me slide up here so I can get this out and condemn everyone and say, God, come and strike them all down and show them that I'm your son. No, he said, Father, forgive them. Forgive. That's love. That's what love looks like. That's why he came. And that's why we celebrate the arrival of the coming one. Because God so loved the world. He gave us the precious gift he ever could give us. It came in the package called Jesus. But it was really love. And if we want to continue on this whole Advent, this whole arrival for the people who live in our generation, we must give them Jesus. We must give them Jesus, which is giving them love. See, Jesus didn't say, oh, it's okay. You know, I know that you've sinned and you've done all this bad, but it's okay. Let's just pretend like it never happened. No. He took upon all that sin that we have committed and he put it to death for us so that we would not be condemned by our sin. But if we would just only believe in him, he would purge us, cleanse us, and redeem us from all of that sin so that we could live a life with God. You see, God loved the world so much that he wanted to have a relationship with each and every person that would ever exist. So he sent Jesus so he could have that relationship with us. This is the whole purpose of Advent. It's the whole reason we can celebrate Christmas. It's the whole reason that we come together every Sunday. Oh, come on, somebody. It's the whole reason we come together every Sunday. Let me just read these things to you. I got way off track and I don't even know what time it is anymore. It's okay. Let's read the true definition of love really quick, and I'm not going to expound on it, I promise. I just want you to hear it. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 8 says this: love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. You see, love never ends. It's perpetual. And he goes on to say this: as for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. And as for knowledge, it will pass away. So there's coming a day where we won't be learning or knowing more because we all know everything already. We won't need tongues anymore. We won't need prophecies anymore because we'll be in the presence of God. But we will still need love. It will never end. So now faith, hope, and love abide. Last verse of this chapter, these three. But the greatest of these is love. How is this? Because Romans 5:8 says, but God showed his love for us. And while that we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Say what? Yeah. He didn't die for the just. He died for the unjust so that we could become those who have been justified. 1 John 4:7-12 says this: beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. That's why I said, how can we be a Christian if we don't let this viral thing called love infect people around us? Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that God, that he, God, loved us and sent his Son to be the big word, propitiation, for our sins, or that it's the atonement. He paid for it. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Now love, no one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected or completed in us. They will know that we are his disciples by our love one for another. I'm going to stand here today and just tell you this. You know why America's so messed up? We want to point fingers at Washington, D.C. We want to point fingers at Los Angeles, Hollywood, California. We want to point fingers at New York City, the Big Apple, and all that they do. You want to know why the United States of America is so messed up? Because the church forgot that we're supposed to love. That's why. We have forgot the whole reason we exist is to share the love of God. We've forgotten the reason for Christmas because God loved us so much, he sent Jesus. We forgot the reason for Easter, the resurrection of our Savior, because God loved him so much. He didn't let him stay where he was, but the Holy Spirit rose him from the dead and now gives us the same life and resurrection life that he has. The church has forgotten what we celebrate. And we have begun to celebrate our differences. Well, you know, I'm Pentecostal. I'm one of those tongue talkers. And, you know, if you don't talk in tongues, you ain't got it the way I got it. And I don't know if I can fellowship with you. Really? That doesn't sound like love to me. Love chooses to bear all things and to believe all things and to hope in every situation. Well, you know, we celebrate Christmas this way. Hallelujah, I'm going to celebrate with you. We need to stop all of the fussing and the fighting and get back to the simplicity of the gospel or the good news of Jesus Christ. There is no one that's too far gone that he cannot rescue. There is no one that's unredeemable. And when we open our doors and say, come on in, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and take the rest of God, the rest, the peace of God upon your life, and we show them the love of God, that's when we will begin to see our nation transformed and changed. The arrival of Jesus Christ. I'm going to end with this. They want to come back to the music. I don't know, unless you playing this morning. I've read this every service, and I've started with it, but today I felt like I need to end with it. Hebrews 10:37 says this: for yet a little while, and the coming one will come, and will not delay. You see, Jesus has come. But Jesus is coming back again. He's coming back again. Just yet a little while, the coming one's coming again. He's not going to delay. He's coming back. Peter told us that don't think that he's slack concerning his promise of returning. He's coming back. But the reason he's taken so long is that he's not willing that any should perish. He wants everyone to have everlasting life. And so he's tarrying for those who have yet to receive Jesus as their Savior. For God so loved us, he waited on us. That's a message in itself right there. God will wait for you. How long are you going to make him wait? God's waiting for you. He's even waiting to return because there are people who he's giving another chance, another time, another moment to say, will you receive me as your Lord and Savior? See, this is the whole point of why we do what we call church. So that people can be rescued from their sins and begin to walk in a relationship with God himself. We meet together and we study the Bible. We talk about what the Bible says so we can grow in that relationship with God because his love is never ending. And it takes a lifetime. It actually takes eternity for us to come to the understanding of his great love for us. Would you stand to your feet? I want to challenge you this morning. Are you loving how you're supposed to love? Are you letting our society define love to you? Are you letting the world around you to define love? Are you letting God define love in your life? See, I hear people say comments like, well, you know, respect is earned, and I can get that. But love isn't. So make sure you don't confuse the two. You shouldn't make people earn your love. God didn't make us earn his love. You should love people just because they're people and God loves them. Don't confuse that. Well, you know, they got to earn it with me. What are they earning with you? Freely, he has given to us. We've received it, right? Freely, we should give to others. Father, as we come to this moment of this time of our service, we come to reflect upon the goodness you've given us through your love by sending your son Jesus to be born on this earth. Not only to be born, but also to die. Not only to die, but to raise from the dead. And in all of this, he paid for our sin. He justified us. He redeemed us. And now he's given us a new life through him where we can be in fellowship with you. We are so grateful, Father, for so great a love that you have bestowed upon us. There's no end to it. We can't even explain it to people. It's more than a feeling. It's more than emotion. It's more than a moment, God. It's a lifetime that we spend with you, and I'm so grateful for that. God, I pray if there's anyone here that does not understand that, that you would open the eyes of their soul so that they could receive this great revelation of who you are, Jesus. Receive you as Lord and Savior. God, I pray those of us that have been walking with you for a while, this morning you would renew our passion, renew our minds, renew our hearts with your love. Forgive us for forgetting how great your love is. Let us love one another so that you may be revealed in our world and people would come to know you. Forgive us of our stubbornness. Forgive us of wanting our way above someone else's way. Forgive us of our pride in thinking that we're right and we know more than the next person. Help us, God, to just walk with you and portray your love to the world, so that they can come and know your love. Move in your church, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. As they begin to sing, I want to open up this altar. It's been open all service. It's always open here. But why don't you take a moment of time and come and talk with your Savior. Ask him, is there something in my heart that's not right, that I'm not displaying the love of God that I should be? Maybe you need to repent of some things. Maybe you need to make some adjustments in your heart. Maybe you need prayer. But let's come and let's respond to what God is speaking to us this morning.
I know that you are.
Father, we are so grateful for your love. It is who you are. And your holiness is the essence of your love. And Father, I pray that you would help us to keep in step with you and your love and your holiness and your goodness and your grace. Lord, we are led by your Spirit. Your Spirit lives inside of us. And God, I pray that you would help us to not just say those things, but to display them to the world through your love. God, you see the turmoil that we're living in and the different things and the times and the seasons and your purposes. God, we know you're coming back. We don't know when that is. We don't have to know when that is. But God, we commit and consecrate our lives to service unto you. That we will continue to share this great news with the people around us that we come in contact with, so that they too may receive it in their hearts and their lives and be transformed and changed. We thank you for yet another year. We thank you for getting us to this point. God, I pray you'll continue to walk with us. Let us grow in your grace and your mercy and your love. May it be grace and peace be multiplied to our lives, Lord. May your face shine upon us and let us live in your peace, we pray, Lord. We declare your blessing over us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a happy new year. If you can, come back tonight, 7 o'clock. We'll have a nice prayer and testimony service, and then we will have fellowship.